Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value displays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Welcome back, everybody. Here's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 19. Got about a month of the season to go, so we're going to look ahead to the rest of the season schedule, try to talk some strategy to improve your standings along the way, and see where that goes. It's going to be a fun puzzle piece to put together. And you can find me on Twitter at BDintric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan, how we doing, man?
Doing great. Good to be back with you. I know we had to miss last week. I had some stuff going on, but always look forward to this. One day early, so yep. I'll make the kind of stupid office joke job that feels like a Thursday when it's a Wednesday. But it does. So it does.
Yeah, Wednesday with the holiday, it's all kind of a mess. I don't know what day it is right now. But we're a day early. Going to knock it out as I got stuff going on tomorrow night. So it'll be fun to get this one through here a little day early, so our weekend matchup picks will have an extra day to stew to see how, like, someone's gonna get injured tomorrow or something.
I was gonna say one more day for someone to get scratched or get hurt and not play this weekend and screw up our picks.
Yep, it'll be great. We'll get to that recap in a minute, because I might be paying for golf pretty soon, it looks like, so that'll be fun as well. But we'll get into some recent news in a minute, but we didn't do it last time. We'll start with it this time. Ryan, plug First Pitch Arizona.
Yeah, it's coming up, man. It is. So I'll see you in less than 2 months. So November 3rd through 6th. Yeah, that's crazy. We are already kind of starting to fine tune the agenda and the panels and all that stuff. So if anyone out there is interested in going, has questions about it, hit me up. But 3 days in the desert, like I said, the 3rd through 6th at Wrigleyville West. Potentially World Series Game 6, Game 7 at the hotel lobby. If not, we'll hit the Home Run Derby. We'll hit Fall Stars that same weekend across the street. Just really looking forward to it. Anyone who I make the standing offer every year, but anyone who's a first timer goes out there, come find me. Beer's on me. Go hang out in the lobby and just hang out and have a good time, because that's honestly what I like the most about it. The panels are great. The info is great. All that stuff. But it is really just seeing everybody, old friends, new friends, all that stuff. And that's where we met last year. Yep. So kind of kicked this whole thing off even last year. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be a blast. It's kind of weird. Like we were talking before too, like we're kind of half in First Pitch Arizona mode, half already. And I got an email this week, for baseball forecaster time, it's starting up, but then we're also half trying to finish things out this year. So a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on. We're trying to, like you said, keep focused on the rest of the season. At the same time, we already did 7 rounds in a draft. I know we're itching to do at least 7 more. Like, we're trying to plan that one. When you say FPAS, I think about the drafts there that are fun. Yep. to see what's going on, not to mention the panels. But you nailed it. It's the hanging out with people, meeting the people. It's a blast. It's a great time. So I highly recommend it. And if you guys like to golf, we're trying to get a golf thing put together. So hit Ryan or myself up. We'll get you guys on the list and get a couple tee times booked, and we'll play some golf before the festivities really kick off down there in Mesa. Tons of golf courses to choose from. So we'll find something fun to get it going. I think we have Erickson and Mendelson and a few other guys already on the list there.
From HQ's in there. So it'll be a fun group. Probably this is the first year we're doing it. So just kind of feeling things out and seeing who's interested and that sort of thing. But yeah, the plan is to play golf kind of midday Thursday and then maybe shower. Who knows? I don't know. Shower optional. Yeah. Before
bring your deodorant.
Change of clothes and deodorant before the welcome reception, I think, at Scottsdale Stadium Thursday
beautiful
night.
Beautiful stadium.
Which is always fun. So the food's included, get our drinks and watch some baseball and watch this year's Joey Weimer.
Joey, I can't wait to find out who it's going to be. Who do I fall in love with for the weekend? I cannot wait. It's going to be, that's why part of me is looking forward to a potential World Series, hanging out with everybody, but I really want to see that home run derby. That home run derby could be a lot of fun.
If we have to decide between game 6 and the home run derby, I'm probably watching game 6. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes a lot of the times at these stadiums, they actually have TVs that are just kind of dropping out in the concourse. So you can just go to the game, watch game 6 and the home run derby at the same time.
Win-win. So we'll check all that stuff out. But yeah, hit us up if you have any questions. Ryan's the veteran in this one, so let us know. Recent news. This just happened tonight, so we don't have a lot of details just yet, but I just wanted to mention it just in case. Juan Soto left tonight's game. He got hit in the shoulder by a pitch. He's been in a bit of a slump as well, but never good when Juan Soto goes down. I know he's not helping teams at the moment, but he also could help you in the blink of an eye. So keep an eye on that going forward into the weekend. That could be another big hurdle. I don't know if you've seen anything else on that at all.
No, just that he kind of got hit in the upper back shoulder. Doesn't sound bad, but who knows? I mean, you mentioned the slump, Bubba. Like, so in prepping for this, I did just kind of take – I don't have Soto anywhere this year, but, like, he hasn't stolen a base, even attempted to steal a base with San Diego, and is hitting – 214, 3 home runs over the last month. Like, where would you, I mean, would you, how early would you take? I mean, I think Juan Soto went in our 2023 Degenerates draft, went like 10th or 12th, I think, overall, which seemed a little late at the time. But I'm a little, I don't know. What, do you think he's a kind of mid first rounder next year?
Soto went 10th overall to, of course, Brian Slack, but, it's one of those. We'll see him healthy in spring, and you'll get your hopes up again. You know how talented he is, but in reality, like you said, he's just not running like he used to. He wasn't even running the ton last year, and there's so much talent at the top now when it comes to power, speed, and getting those 5 categories like we love to do, that he might get pushed back once pitching gets pushed up, and you see all these young studs continue to move up the boards. He might be a late first. I don't know if he slips into the second, but I think there's still going to be someone in every draft that wants Juan Soto.
I mean, it's an interesting thought exercise at this point. Like, the lineup is going to be just fantastic next year, and there's no way that this BABIP's going to continue really for any length of time next season. But it's just interesting to only see him hitting 240, only 24 homers and 6 steals. But again, those were all with the Nationals. So
it comes down, if you're looking for outfielders, like Bryce Harper went to pick after him. A lot of similarities in the overall profile there. Jordan Alvarez went in round 2. You could probably make an argument for a healthy Jordan over Soto if you're not worried about the steals. So it does become quite interesting when you really want to break it all down going to the next year. But we'll have plenty of time to do that for sure. Starling Marte was starting to heat up of late, and then he got hit in the hand, fractured a finger. They're saying he's day-to-day. I don't know how a fractured finger lets you come back and be productive, but what do I know? So he's day-to-day for now, Ryan, not on the IL, but we'll get to some other guys that were day-to-day that are on the IL now. So what's your thoughts on Starling Marte?
Yeah, it is kind of like, you see it was a non-displaced finger fracture. I think that's the good kind. I mean, insert Mets joke here, right? Like that they say he's day to day and fractured finger. I agree. Like that doesn't really sound great. So we'll see. I'm not really trusting what the Mets are saying right now. I don't know if it's, you know, when he'll be back. I do know it's probably Taylor Naquin time again.
Yep.
Naquin started both games in Marte's absence in right field. Homered, I think, homered earlier today on Wednesday, hitting seventh in pretty good lineup. And so, I mean, we talked about Tyler Naquin when he was traded from Cincinnati at the deadline and how it kind of killed his fantasy value because he'd be a part-time player. But as long as Marte is out, I think Naquin's going to play pretty much every day. They might platoon him a little bit, but if you're looking for playing time, and this will be a theme kind of when we get to the meat of the show with the September kind of strategy, anybody who's playing it every day can go on a heater right now. And Tyler Naquin, we've already kind of seen that from him early in the season with Cincinnati. So Tyler Naquin, somebody who I'm definitely interested, probably somebody who is on most even deeper league waiver wires just because he did not have an everyday gig before Marte went down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that'll be quite interesting when looking at all that. Josh Jung, this is a guy going in early draft season. I made a joke on Twitter about my DC teams are going to be excited because looked like the potential starting third baseman for Texas, and everyone was loving the power potential for Jung, and then he gets hurt. I thought he was out for the whole season. I thought it was a lost cause. Came back late July and started playing in AAA in 30 games. He's hitting .267 with 9 home runs and even a stolen base in there. So the 29 RBI has been super productive. And Brad Miller goes to the IL, giving Josh Jung a chance to make his debut on Friday. This could be a fun one for the stretch, Ryan.
Tons of prospect pedigree. He's mashing AAA. Like, yeah, didn't seem to skip a beat with the shoulder injury. And you're right, Bubba. Like, everyone kind of scratched him off. This feels like 10 years ago, but Josh Jung was like the one. Remember that? I mean, there was just no information during the lockout of injuries and that sort of thing. He was one of those. Yep. That we actually heard about. I think it was like February where he was presumed to be out for the season and pretty much off of everybody's list. And so, yes, if he's on your DC, you may have a drafting problem because that was before
I wasn't before February. It, but yes, let's wait and see what Zach's ownership percentage is for Josh Jung because him
tell
and
us
Fish,
you're in too many drafts and yeah. You draft too early without telling us that you draft too early. But no, I mean, like I said, AAA numbers look good. He's got the pedigree. If he plays every day, I mean, that is kind of an if. I mean, we've seen what Texas has done with their third baseman this season. I'm looking at you, Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran. So we don't know if it'll be an everyday thing, but I mean, if he hits, why wouldn't Texas let him go and see what they have?
Yeah, I'd say Jung's a lot different than Duran and Smith. So let's hope they don't platoon like they good did with point. Those two and stress us out. So let's hope this is a good thing coming for Josh Jung. Dylan Carlson, you know, the Cardinals and their embarrassment of outfield riches. They lose Dylan Carlson, who since August 1st, you know, only hitting .207, started hitting a little bit of late, but still not great. He is more OBP guy than batting average guy. He goes to the IL, and they just keep calling up prospects that can rake. It's ridiculous what they're doing, but Carlson's pretty much done for a little bit.
Looks, I mean, looks like old Corey Dickerson's gonna keep playing at least against right-handed pitching somewhere.
Seven
out
righties
there.
This week. It was glorious.
Yep. Somewhere out there, Yancey Eaton is smiling. But yeah, I mean, the other two spots. It also probably extends Lars Nootbaar, who's just pretty much locked in. Been a little cold lately, but locked in at leadoff. So, I don't know. Something with Cardinals devil magic. I'm watching a lot more Cardinals lately, just because, I really want to see Pujols get 700.
Yeah, it'd be really a big shame if he makes this massive push and then somehow doesn't get there. And it'd be like, oh, come on, man! Like you're so close, make it happen. That would be a real big bummer, but we'll see. They're trying to give him as much playing time as possible, it looks like. So,
and I saw there are some kind of prop bets out there, and I think for Pujols to get to 700, it's like +200 odds, and to not get it, it's like -275. So
interesting. So might be some fun plus money to see what happens. I mentioned earlier that we had some guys that were day-to-day and supposed to pitch later this week, and now they're on the IL. We'll start with Max Scherzer, who, you know, whenever I hear he's hurt, I'm like, oh, he's going to pitch. He's going to be fine. It's Max Scherzer. He's not going on the IL. What are you talking about? Well, Max Scherzer goes on the IL. They say retroactive, so he'll only miss one start, supposedly. We'll see. But he goes to the IL. They did get Carlos Carrasco back recently, so they still have a five-man rotation that consists of DeGrom, Peterson, Carrasco, Walker, and Bassett. But, yeah, losing Scherzer, hopefully it's just one start because that could really sting down the stretch here.
Yeah, really could. And, I mean, the Mets don't really have the ability to take it easy with Scherzer. I mean, they're in a dogfight with the Braves right now. The Braves are just absolutely on fire. That race is going to be – I mean, the Mets haven't really even played that bad, and the Braves have caught him anyway. But, I mean, going back to Scherzer, like, yeah, not. I mean, the Mets need him back. So not to say they're going to push him back. But they're certainly not going to take their time with Scherzer. I mean, David Peterson, I think, like you mentioned, Bubba, Carrasco's back, kind of. Didn't pitch very well in his first start. But I think, if anything, this solidifies David Peterson. And I think the Mets get the Marlins this weekend, and Peterson starting
glorious
Friday night. So all systems go with David Peterson. I mean, if you're looking for pitching at this point, Peterson has the length. He pitches on a good team. He's got 19 strikeouts to 3 walks over his last 3 starts. 2 of those starts were against the Rockies and Nationals, but whatever. That's someone who, I mean, I feel like we talk about him every other podcast because 6 starters like him always kind of get that opportunity again. But Peterson's absolutely someone I'm interested in.
Yeah, and he's a guy we've talked about before that he changed his pitch mix up. He still has a little bit of a walk issue, but the strikeouts have come up in a big way. So, like you mentioned, the Marlins, just horrible offense, especially versus lefties. So, yeah, lock and load, have some fun with David Peterson. That should be a good one for the time being. Franchi Cordero to the IL. That was fun while it lasted for a few days. Bobby Dalbec gets sent down because he's not producing.
He couldn't play shortstop.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is unbelievable. And Tristan Casas, or Cases, I always mispronounce it, got called up. Casas, okay. He went deep yesterday for his first home run. In AAA, he was hitting .281 with 12 homers over 76 games. Dude can mash. We know this. Now he's going to get the chance because Hosmer is pretty much done for the year, too. On paper, this looks like his job for the rest of the season, which is going to make Fab even more fun with no money on Monday or Sunday night.
Yeah, it's absolutely Casas, and he's got Boston plays 3 righties at Baltimore this weekend, so like that could probably even pump up that Fab price even more with a big weekend for Casas. And subtle plug for First Pitch Arizona, but Casas was one of the highlight kind of prospects that we saw out there last year. So like fall league, you're gonna get to see a lot of these guys that will be up in 2023. Casas, I mean, have you seen him? That dude is a house.
He's big dude. Big
oh
dude.
My
yeah.
God.
No, like he's built to play first base / DH and then retire into a beer league softball league.
Man, he is he's I mean, it's not like a Vogelbach.
It's an Adam Dunn.
Like he's got some height to him and a lot of muscle, but like, man, I don't remember him being that big.
He's like the John Dowd guy from the old baseball game when they couldn't use Barry Bonds.
Yeah, just some hulking lefty.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so like size is not a fantasy category, but like, yeah, the power is legit. We've been talking about Casas throughout the season just because I thought this call-up should have come sooner, but obviously Boston's playing that keep him rookie eligible game for 2023. Numbers were great in AAA, gets on base, has power. If you need power, and you probably do, Casas is definitely on there. It's probably going to cost you, depending on what people have left in Fab, but it's probably going to cost you because I think he's going to be in for a big weekend against 3 righties against Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm with you. It should be a monster weekend, and we'll see if he sneaks through for a dollar again. I'm going to try very, very hard. So we'll see how that plays out. Wilson Contreras of the Chicago Cubs. Yes, if people missed the trade deadline, he's still a Chicago Cub. This is probably why he got hurt, because he's on the Cubs. But he goes to the IAL. Yan Gomes is starting. And, you know, Yan Gomes has been serviceable in his career when he gets regular playing time. So I will say that much. I won't clown on Yan Gomes. I'm more going to clown on the Cubs because they didn't trade Wilson Contreras, who is having a good season, but it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, doesn't really matter anymore. And it's funny, like I made this joke in our 2023 draft, but like I drafted Contreras in the 7th round, and like for whatever reason, I'm in some kind of like time realm where I'm rooting for these guys in the wrong year. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Contreras, I mean, is he a drop? Like that's this kind of stuff you got to start thinking about, because a 10-day IL stint is, you know, third of the season, a little bit more than a third of the season. So something I definitely consider, as weird as that sounds, because you have to be so aggressive. And Gomes, yeah, like you said, Bubba has always been kind of serviceable in an everyday role. 14% strikeout rate, he's only hitting 220, but making plenty of contact, not much quality to it. Six homers and 236 plate appearances, 4% barrel rate. Kind of like a can't hurt you second catcher type. So play it based off the matchups, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one. So we'll wait and see how it goes. But if we get any more news that he's going to be out for more than a week, I'd start looking into other plans, basically, when it comes to Wilson Contreras, because you can't afford to be having that zero much longer. Nope. At the catcher's position. Anthony Rizzo goes to the aisle. He's been battling back issues all year. He's always had back issues, but it seems like it's worse than usual right now. It also, the Yankees have had a little bit of a cushion to rest guys. That cushion is slowly evaporating, but they have that cushion still. But yeah, Rizzo's down and out for now. They called up Ronald Guzman to play there. It's pretty much been a platoon situation. Like, Marwin Gonzalez has got some playing time. It's a mess in New York.
It's a mess all around in New York. I mean, some of their lineups today. I know today was
doubleheader.
Yep, doubleheader. So, like, but yeah, spring training vibes to some of these lineups. I'm not interested in Guzman or Marwin Gonzalez, who started for them today. It's kind of weird. Like, I didn't realize, I don't have much Rizzo. I didn't realize he's fifth in the American League in home runs. Like, I thought the power was like
short porch
going away.
And short porch.
Yeah, short porch is
like a major part. When you get bored, or whoever has Rizzo in the spectator, or the specular, what I'm totally blanking, in the forecasters this year, look at his home road splits and you will see a drastic split. It's almost like playing in Coors Field for Rizzo. It's a big difference. That short porch has been a beautiful. He had that one game where he had that three home run game that I believe it was either him or Carpenter, might have been Carpenter now. Three home run game though, where none of the balls would have been home runs in any other ballpark.
He's got 18 homers at home, 12 on the road. I mean, not like crazy, but yeah, it helps. It helps to have that. And yeah, and the fact that, I mean, he's been doing this with back problems. Kind of weird, but
very weird. Very weird. Another weird one, Justin Steele, back problems. Wasn't supposed to be on the IL. Was supposed to pitch Thursday. Well, he's on the IL after the lineup's locked, so that was fun. And I love Justin Steele. I've talked about him plenty on shows. He's been great. He's absolutely outstanding. Pretty much a drop now, unless we get some news that he's going to be starting early next week. It's going to be tough to hang on to Justin Steele, but what are you thinking on him?
Yeah, this is you sound bitter kind of going through that. I'm just as bitter, if not more. He's burned me in my main event. Steele has the last 2 weeks, because, let's see, his last start, he left early with back problems, but he still threw 88 pitches. And you know what, we all know how good Justin Steele had been up until that time. And he had a 0.96 ERA in five August starts, but left his last August start with back issues, couldn't make the following week's trip to Toronto because he's unvaccinated, so put on the restricted list, but was supposed to start the following weekend, last weekend, and got pushed back. So he was in my lineup in the main event last weekend. And he's in the lineup this week because he was supposed to have the Tuesday. I was supposed to go Tuesday. And so it's been a double zero for me for Justin Steele. I will be dropping with joy, but a damn impressive finish for him. He's someone I'm going to be very interested in 2023. I know back issues can kind of linger, but he's a young buck, age 27 season next year. So it's definitely someone who I'm impressed with. A little bit of a pitch mix change and really good skills to round out the season despite these 2 weeks of madness.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very intrigued with him next year. He's been absolutely outstanding, and he'll probably throw another gem or something right at the end of the season to really reel us all in. So and make it sting even more for the loss we've had recently. But I at least got him for a few weeks, so it wasn't just a two-week burn that you got. So you can be a little more bitter than me, that is for sure.
Rough.
This was kind of more of a tongue-in-cheek one here. Austin Slater to the IL. Lewis Brinson gets called up, and he has been crushing baseballs. Like, I made the joke when he got picked up by the Giants and called up, because I remember last year when he tore it up for like 3 weeks, and it was great. And he just loves hitting lefties, and it's a big lefty week for the Giants. But Brinson's hit safely in four or five games and with three home runs. I will say this, though. In the minors for the Astros before he went to the Giants, He was hitting .299 with 22 homers and 5 stolen bases. So he wasn't just like a scrub. Like, he was doing stuff in AAA, which just makes you like, he's that perfect 4A player, basically. And yeah, what's like, I'm not saying go and pick him up, people, because once they get back to regular schedule, it's Lamont Wade Jr. time. But just something to think about.
Yeah, I was going to say, counterpoint to that AAA comment, he is 28 years old now. So Quad A is a good call. I don't think it's Lewis Brinson season was, I think, supposed to be 2015, something like that. It's kind of weird. The Giants have faced 4 lefties in a row.
And they got 2 more this week.
They got 2 more. So he's leading off against lefties.
Mm-hmm. He's like taking the Austin Slater role.
Yep. It's not gonna last once they start facing righties and people get healthy. But yeah, Lewis Brinson, what a name.
Yep, that's one of the Wayback Machine names for anybody that's played long enough. You know how many times we wanted to draft him for his upside, but like, just to start next week, they get Kyle Wright, Strider, Morton against Atlanta, so he won't play any of those games right out the gate. So don't go rushing to spend money on him. If you're in a daily league, they'll pick him up for the weekend. He's get Drew Smiley and Wade Miley, so have fun with that if you want to. Brandon Drury goes to the concussion IL, and it didn't sound very good. Like, the reports that came out from San Diego, like, this doesn't feel like it's going to be a 7-day one. Might be a little longer. You never know. Things can change with concussions, obviously, but he might be out for a little longer than I think people want him to be.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell, like, how hard this is. And obviously, you hope that he's okay. It's weird, man. It's just another San Diego trade deadline like disaster. I mean, you kind of feel bad for him at this point, but did not sound good. Happened, I think, shortly after lock. So Brandon Drury is also in my main event lineup with Justin Steele. So they can kind of hang out on the IL all week and take a week off, boys. That's cool. It's rough. I mean, maybe if anything, like, Will Myers might get a little bit more playing time. I think Myers homered on Wednesday, and similar side of the plate. I know Drury kind of plays everywhere, but Myers has started in left field and at first base, played for the last 5 games in a still, you know, pretty decent lineup, hitting like 7th.
He went deep tonight. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, he went deep, and I don't know. I mean, it's Will Myers. We all know the book on him, but he could this may be a repeated book, but anyone can get hot and stay hot. They just need playing time at this point. So
we've seen it with Will Myers for sure.
Yes, we have.
So 100% on board with you there. Nick Castellanos to the IL with an oblique injury from a swing. The latest thing I saw was from Matt Gelb, one of the beat writers, on September 3rd. This is how far back. It's the latest thing I've seen. They have not got the results back, so there should be something somewhere. But I have not seen anything updating Nick Castellanos. Maybe you have, but it seems like he's day-to-day is the nicest way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, what a bad season for Castellanos. I mean, 13 home runs and 500 at-bats like that. Coming off what he did in 2021, hit .309, 34 homers, 100 ribbies, and 95 runs. Like, this was not a good season for him. And I think Castellanos will be popping up, I'm sure, on a bunch of off-season bloom boards of guys who have had the track record and just it all fell apart this season. So I actually am quite interested in him for next season. It'll be year 2 in Philadelphia, kind of that pressure's off. You know, we'll see. But pretty bad way to end a really rough season.
Definite buy low situation coming up. Nick Castellanos, 100% on board. So. The talent's still very much there. Like you said, he'll be on bloom boards. So be very, very interesting to see what that all entails come draft day. Tyler Molly back to the IL. He had shoulder issues, came back, made a start, didn't last long. It was ugly. Back on the IL with right shoulder issues. I dropped him before this one. He's definitely a drop now if you still have him. So move on, please.
Yep, he's a drop now. And Chris Archer stays and Louis Varland stays in Minnesota. Should not be staying on your rotations. No. But yeah, sucks for Mally.
Yep, sucks for him. Speaking of Chris Archer, I'm gonna do a side note real quick. For anybody that listens to the Chris Rose rotation, if you want to hear total baseball dude stuff, Archer was on the show, and him and Correa have beef from the sign stealing incidents. So the way they hashed it out is, he said, "We were in the shower where we were both vulnerable, where men can talk," as he said. And they talked about everything, hashed everything out, and now they're like best friends. Just let that sink in for a second. I was just like, alrighty.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, that's I was just listening, going, so this is what you guys do in your off days. Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good.
I think we need old Fam and Jock to just hash it out too and see what happens.
Like they talk like you have a lot of football DFS guys talking about the shower narrative from like high college days. Like you want the quarterback and the tight end or whatever. Apparently there's one in baseball too. Cutter Crawford, who we absolutely loved for a long time. He's hit the skids and I mentioned it before the IL. Like I tweeted about him. Like, oh, I loved him. Things have not worked out. It's time to move on. Now he goes to the IL. Definitely time to move on for those that still stuck it out a little longer. But man, the early profile looked really strong, Ryan, and it just kind of faded quickly.
Yeah, faded really fast. Had that, I think, 9-earned run start against either Baltimore or Toronto a couple weeks ago and just didn't really get much better from there. So it's hard to tell, like, I don't know, is Boston just kind of shutting him down? Is he really hurt? I don't know. But it does make sense for Boston to just kind of protect Cutter Crawford. I mean, 26, he's not like super young, but they're not playing for anything at this point. And I mean, it'll extend Brian Bayo, who we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, extend him and give him a longer look, who's actually pitched, and I'm maybe stealing your thunder, but pitched better lately. So we'll get to him lately, but he's definitely part of that Sox rotation, at least until Boston wants to pull the plug on the season for Bayo.
Yeah. Which could come soon. You never know with Boston.
Maybe Polanco, this weekend.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That'd be my luck. Jorge Polanco was day to day forever. And they finally put him on the IL with knee inflammation. And it sounds like it's just one of those that the knee was never getting better. Like they kept trying to test it out. It didn't work. Just they said, screw it. We're going to the IL. There's no timetable right now. It's a weird one. And the Twins need him because they're still competing for that division. And so it's a tough one. He's one of those, like, if I don't get real positive news this weekend, I could see moving on from Jorge Polanco, which is a tough one to do this time of the year.
It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's something you pretty much have to do. I mean, if there's something with no timetable or there's still some vagueness to the return, like I think you have to cut bait. I mean,
there's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Polanco wasn't really doing much anyway. In the second half, he's hitting .226 with six homers and 133 at bat. So like, it's not actively hurting your team. So I would cut bait and move on. It is interesting. Like you mentioned, Bubba, the knee injury kind of lingering. I do wonder how much, I mean, obviously last season for Polanco was a career year, right? Hit .269, 33 homers, 11 bags. Like that was massive. I do wonder how much that knee injury affected his 2022 and what the buyback potential is for Polanco next season. Polanco's only going to be, I feel like he's a lot older than this, but he's, and I always get guys mixed up. Like I always get him mixed up. I think I put a tweet about this. I always, for whatever reason, I get him mixed up with Eduardo Escobar. He's like 34 and I just cannot separate those two guys apart. I think they're on the Twins together at the same time or whatever, but yeah, Polanco, age 30 next year, like has that track record. And if the knee is healthy and that's what was dragging him down next year, just tuck that away for your offseason prep.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of guys like that that'll be fun to dig into and see if it's worth taking the gamble on at the proper draft price. And last piece of news we have here, there's probably much more because that's what we do these days. Andrew Benintendi goes to the IL with a hamate injury, has to have surgery. Likely done for the rest of the season, might make a late return, but for fantasy, he's done. So move on from Andrew Benintendi.
Yep, and a kind of shaky Yankees outfield gets just a little bit shakier. So our boy Aaron Hicks maybe is a little safer, but that's probably not a good
thing. That was my first thought. Well, playing time secured for Aaron Hicks, but then you have Oswaldo Cabrera. They called up. You got Miguel Andujar's been getting some love for you. Esteban Florial. Like, it's, look at their roster resource page. Like, this is not supposed to be the New York Yankees. This is pretty impressive seeing this roster right here.
There's the Braves peaking at the right time, and then there's the Yankees, which, not that.
Speaking of which, just going to throw it out there because I can. Jordan Montgomery with another great start on Wednesday night. Good job, Yankees.
Yeah. He did not. It was shades of Yankee version. Jordan Montgomery did not get the win. I think it was like 6 2/3 with
6 2/3 one earned run. Couldn't get the dub. So, yeah, that still took place. I think he has 5 wins and like 7 starts with the Cardinals. So I'll take it.
I think the Cardinals came back and won. They were so it was 1-1 when Montgomery left.
They won 6-5. The
Cardinals gave up. Yeah, it was 5-1. Cardinals gave up 4 runs in the bullpen and then came back 6-5. So
yep, Cardinals devil magic. It's gonna be fun. Yep. Cardinals Braves NLCS. Or get ready, or whoever has to face the Dodgers in the opening segment is gonna be fun too. Like, it's gonna be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But let's talk weekly matchups. Our matchup game that going into last week, we just keep tying. That's what we do. It's simple, simple game we play here. Until last week, where Ryan got lucky. That's all I'm gonna say. He had Brendan Donovan. I had Harold Ramirez. He won. I had Drew Smyly. He had Austin Voth. He won. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, my odds of having you pay my greens fee and at first pitch just got a little bit better because I'm up, 11-9 on you on the season. So you need to sweep a weekend back from me because, it's almost getting to dormy stage. So we'll see. But yeah, we didn't get to play last week.
I'm not conceding any putts to you, so you have to figure it out.
Oh, no. We'll play this one out for sure. But, I mean, it's kind of like futility on the pitcher side. Drew Smyly, only 2 strikeouts. Yeah, I thought that was a good play. I didn't think both would win. I mean, he only had 4 strikeouts, so whatever. Our hitters both did fine, Harold Ramirez and Donovan. I just happened to edge you out 8-7. So, you hate to see it.
You hate to see it. You really do. You hate to see it. If you guys want to see what he really feels like, watch the video. He hates to see it. When we look at the weekly matchups for Baseball HQ here, Ryan, we usually have a bunch of like -1+ type matchups. We don't really have those this week. We have good matchups. Phillies, Phillies against Washington. We got Milwaukee and Great American Small Park, which is always great. Arizona's and Coors. So some of those that you'd expect, but overall, nothing like that just jumps off the page to you.
No, those are the big ones. Yeah, the top 5 with HQ are the Phillies against Washington. Arizona at Colorado is interesting to me. Arizona, like, they're quietly like mashing right now. I think they're gonna score some runs this weekend at Coors, and they're facing Marquez, Jose Urena, and my man Ryan Feltner on Sunday. So runs galore for Arizona. It's also 3 righties. And Boston, I mentioned Boston before with Casas, but they get 3 righties at Baltimore. So Arizona, Boston lefties are guys, if you're in like weekend leagues or daily pickups, those are guys you want to target. And then, Bubba, like you mentioned at the top, HQ's ratings really like Philly. Who hosts Washington, the Brewers, and Kansas City. Everyone who plays this week is 3 games, so no volume advantages to glean, really.
And no volume, but we get Coors and Great American Small Park, which is always fun if you want to try to pinpoint those things. Not always easy. Like, I didn't this weekend, but you can try to find things in and out when you can. On the flip side of things, though, the Angels are going to continue to struggle, I think, going up against Houston. That's going to be an interesting one. You know, Otani will probably hit 4 home runs, but everybody else will stink. Washington, they've actually been sneaky good the last few days. So that'll be interesting to see how the matchups dictate that in Philly. And then, man, San Diego, what used to be.
Yeah, they've got – so San Diego and the Nationals have the 2 toughest, but San Diego really sticks out to me because some of these ratings are based on, like, their own lineups futility. So San Diego, yeah, gets those three games against LA, and LA just dominates them. It's going to be Dustin May, Julio Urias, and Andrew Heaney. So two lefties out of the three. So be a little bit nervous about any left-handed San Diego bats. And then Washington, like you said, Bubba, has sneakily been kind of okay, which, again, if you're streaming, like, those are the types of guys that are maybe on your waiver wires and you're thinking of picking up. But at Philly, with Syndergaard, who's pitched better lately, Ranger Suarez obviously has pitched better lately, and then Aaron Nola on Sunday, that's a pretty brutal stretch for them. So it's interesting. There's, I'm trying to look and see what, if there's a Yankees Tampa is a kind of somewhat playoff matchup picture kind of thing. So Seattle Atlanta is probably my favorite.
That's a fun one. That's a very fun one
for the weekend. That'll be interesting to see what happens there.
You would think LA San Diego would be, but San Diego's fallen off so much. But yeah, that Atlanta Seattle one, that's sneaky nice. Tampa Bay New York could be for the division in the end of things there. So yeah, that's interesting as well. But yeah, there's not a whole lot else. That's why it's weird. The matchups aren't any too crazy. I guess Cleveland and Minnesota technically, because they're both in it. So that has a little bit of volume to it as well. But yeah, nothing like, we've had some good ones recently, like the Braves Dodgers series was a good one weekend and stuff like that. So nothing that jumps off the page anymore. Let's get into our picks for the week. I'll let you have the floor since you mopped it with me last week. Who's your hitter for the week?
All right, my hitter for the week, I went with, who the hell did I go with? Oh yeah, Brandon Marsh. Hitting for power, not making much contact. So I'm hedging a little bit that he's going to make, like, the strikeout rate's been really high for Marsh, but like we just kind of talked about, what Philly gets the easiest rating of any team this weekend. So they get Washington. It is one lefty, but that lefty is Patrick Corbin. So is that really a lefty? Like I think Marsh might play, or at least get a pinch hit appearance in that game. And then it's Eric Fetty and Anibal Sanchez who, yeah, if you told me Anibal Sanchez was still pitching at this point, that's something. So, I went with Marsh. I just think I like the lineup. I think Philly's going to score a bunch of runs this weekend and maybe turn over a couple more times in the lineup. And so just needs to make a little bit of contact, but the quality contact's been there for him. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. He surprised me. I was bummed when he got hurt when he first came over, but it's good to see him back in action. I went with C-Dick. I wrote about him. I talked about him all weekend. We already talked about him on this show. I'm a huge fan of what he's doing right now, and it's all right-handers on deck. He's hitting like fifth usually against righties of late. Over his last 15 games, he's safely in 12 of them, hitting over 450. Only one homer, but he's, all I care about is hits, runs, and RBIs. So he's accumulating right now overall, and they're facing Ronzi Contreras, JT Brubaker, Mitch Keller, and the Pittsburgh bullpen. So sign me up for those matches. It stinks it's in Pittsburgh, but again, he could put a couple two-hit games in there, score a run or two, drive in a run or two. It wouldn't shock me at all with Dickerson this weekend. So that's what I'm going for. You're going for the power. I'm going for accumulation. We'll see how that one plays out. But I think it'll be it might be even like last weekend. This could be a close one where like one thing is going to break this one wide open, and it'll be, and you might have the upper hand there with the power in that ballpark against Washington. So we'll see how that plays out.
We'll see. Accumulation usually wins out. Like, the park isn't great at Pittsburgh, but it is. I mean, like you said, those three righties. And I mean, we talked about, I shouldn't have hyped Dickerson. I didn't realize that was your pick until just now. I should have hyped him earlier on. But yeah, three righties. Like, that's what you want. So he's going to play each of those three games, I would think.
100%. Who is your pitcher for the week?
So pitching, broken record here, but pitching is extremely thin, even in 12 teamers, under 50%. But I went with Daniel Lynch. I thought this was a pretty good matchup. Lynch is pitching at home against Detroit. So I know we're just counting strikeouts for our little game here, but I think win potential is pretty solid. Detroit is just kind of playing out the string at this point, Kansas City is as well. But Lynch, the big thing for me is, like, even though the 482, like, the ratios are bad, 482 ERA, 154 whip, he's still missing bats, 12% swing strike rate. And that typically, you know, trends with strikeouts. So he's gotten 10 strikeouts his last two starts, just pitched at Detroit, which I need to kind of look at maybe something for this offseason. The facing the same team twice in a row, how does that second start go? The narrative, the conventional wisdom is it's not going to go as well. I don't know if that's actually true. I don't know if it might be. I just haven't seen the numbers of the study behind it, so it could be something. But kind of going off on a tangent, but Lynch is my pick at hosting Detroit. I like the matchup more than anything else.
For DFS thoughts, because this has happened a lot this year, it feels like it's probably like 65-35 bad. But there's been a lot of goods. There's been a couple that were three straight starts, and that's when it got nasty. So
I mean, intuitively, like you see the same pitches, you pick up on the release point, like that sort of thing. It makes sense. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen like an actual study on it. So
yeah, something to definitely dig into. So it'd be interesting to see. I'm going Brian Baio, as you mentioned him earlier. You know, big time prospect, struggled his first time through. Walks were an issue. Strikeouts weren't even really there a ton. But since getting demoted and coming back up, he's made three starts. Total of 15 innings, has 14 Ks is what we're looking for. He's got five or more in two out of his three starts. Does face Baltimore, who's been sneaky good. We know this. They've been sneaky good, but they still strike out. And that's all I'm looking for. If Baio could somehow go 5-6 innings, I should on paper get 5+ Ks. And that's what I'm shooting for here as this improvement. The pitches are filthy when he's not walking the world. So I'm going with Brian Baio, hoping I get a little Cutter Crawford love. And like, you know, retrospect there and go get some Brian Baio strikeouts and get me back into the get even call. I'm going to the next week.
It's funny, like with Baio, and I put this out maybe a week or so ago, but like was a pretty hyped prospect when he got called up in July, and like the fab hype was building, but then he went out there and just kind of crapped the bed in his first start, and that kind of tempered things. But what if like things were reversed? I mean, he had that August 24 start against Toronto, 7 Ks, 1 walk and 5 innings. Like imagine if that was Bayo's first start instead of his 7th start. That would have been some pretty wild fab bidding. It's just funny how sequencing matters so much in our game.
Yeah, people probably forget that Logan Gilbert was like that a lot last year. Like, yeah, I was pumped for him, and now look at him. He's a regular. Kirby's been a little better, but he had some hiccups too. Like, these guys are young. Even Manoah's had some rough patches this season. Like, he's still very, very good, but Bale's got the pedigree where I wouldn't be surprised if he starts to figure it out a little bit more than people want to give him credit for. So you're right there. It's just the recency biases or the biases. Like, he got shelled, don't want him, but he has improved. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about it. I said we got about a month to go here. So let's talk September strategy. This is going to be fun because it's where can I make up ground? You're going to see guys like we talk about the Dussauts of the world and DiPietros and some other guys that they'll drop some big boy names because they're like, this does not help my team anymore. And you have to be able to do that and not worry about the repercussions in the rest of your league. And you need to focus on, like, I know Rob's talked about, he went like 9 relievers 1 week because he just needed as many saves as he could figure out. You do all kinds of goofy stuff, but we're talking matchups potentially, strengths of schedules going forward, different ways to go about there. So how are you approaching these final 4 weeks, Ryan?
I mean, you'll hear this on like kind of every podcast, so I don't want to make it kind of too basic or just repeating the normal echo chamber type stuff. But everything at this point is about two things. It's about playing time and it's about categories. Like those are the only two things that should matter. You need hitters who are in the lineup. You need pitchers who, at least from a starting pitcher aspect, are still going 5 innings and are planning to go 5 innings. Those are the two big things that you need to look for. So, I mean, just a couple examples just to kind of give this a little bit more meat than just like kind of theoretical stuff. Today, so on Wednesday, Jeffrey Springs, who has been fantastic for Tampa. He's kind of in uncharted workload territory for a Tampa team. He's kind of gone back and forth throughout his career between the bullpen and starting rotation. And Tampa's going to probably play it pretty safe with him. Jeffrey Springs started today and just went 3 innings through 39 pitches. And from what I understand, it wasn't injury related. I haven't seen anything injury related or anything like that. If you've got Jeffrey Springs, you're probably starting him because he's been fantastic. But how valuable is Jeffrey Springs if he's going 3 innings? He's not. And if you need wins and Ks, is Jeffrey Springs a cut? Probably. Yeah. So it's just like that's an example of someone who you think like, oh, I've got a starting pitcher. I'm going to start 8 starters this week. I need wins and Ks. Dig a little bit deeper and kind of see where some of these starting pitchers are in their kind of career in terms of workload compared to recent seasons and their last few kind of game logs. How many pitches, how many innings, what are the tea leaves? Are they getting shut down, or are they getting even worse than a shutdown, like slowed down in Springs' case where he's only going like three innings at a time?
Yeah, shutdown would be a lot better because it's just like, okay, cool, you just move on,
right?
Yeah, it's like done. But and then we were talking about before the show, I said you could see with like the Kyle Wrights, the Spencer Striders, a lot of these young guys that teams are going to have postseason runs that need these guys in the postseason, they're going to start finagling things too, and you're not going to know it sometimes. They'll talk about it, but there'll be other times you're going to be like, okay, like I know Strider pitched normal today, but say he was facing Oakland, you're all pumped, like, yeah, what if he just went out and threw three innings? He'd be like, you gotta be kidding me right now. Like out of all the starts, like, and then you're gonna let him probably go a full go against, like, you know, the Mets or something, and watch him get hit around or something. Like, it's just one of those things where it's gonna be super frustrating on some of these teams that have a lot to go for them. There'll be other teams that just kind of throw in the towel. Like we mentioned, Boston. How much longer does Bayo go? And then they call up another guy that can't pitch or something, or so that just changes the matchup scenarios up. So you're looking for different hitters on different teams that you might not even think about for certain times. So that's also something to definitely keep in mind and approach those situations. But when you're looking at categories, I know we have a question on this later, but are there any categories that you're more, that you think are easier to come by this time of year? Like, nothing's easy, of course, because you need the playing time, but like, are you thinking I can accumulate strikeouts pretty easily compared to other stats? Are you thinking like runs, RBIs, maybe stolen bases? Like, is there a certain category that you're thinking I can make some moves in?
Yeah, it's tough, Ellie, and this is just like my opinion, but like I always find that, especially on the hitting side, it's kind of like just stolen bases that are really manageable. Like, you can be ahead or way behind in home runs, but it just affects everything else that I kind of play it straight. So like, and this is not a brag by any means. My main event team is in like seventh place, trying to cash, but I'm like probably 10, 15 points out. That team is 30 home runs in first. So second place is 30 home runs behind me. But am I going to like drop my power hitters and pick up Miles Straws and Bubba Thompson? No, because I do need, you know, batting average and runs and RBI. Like, it's all connected. So like steals, I think on the hitting side is really the only one that you can kind of manage. And then on the pitching side, ratios are interesting because they work both ways. Yep. So counting stats are a little bit different, where like people ahead of you cannot go back in counting stats, but they certainly can in ERA and WHIP. So you can certainly make up more ground than you think in ratios.
And lose more ground than you think in ratios.
And lose more. I'm speaking on the positive side here. But yes, if you do have a Cutter Crawford like I did in my main, yep, with that 9-run run outing, yes, you can lose a lot of ground in that as well. And that's kind of the danger in going, just finding as many starters as possible, mm-hmm, and going 8 or 9 starters is, yes, you might gain some ground in strikeouts and wins, because maybe you don't need the saves or whatever, but depending on the quality of those starters, like, you still need to be in ratio protection mode, I think.
Yeah, no, and that's why I only made that joke, because it's one of the lessons learned that we'll probably talk about in the offseason from this year, but from last year for me is I was chasing potential wins and strikeouts, so I was trying to get as many starts as possible, and it lost me grounds and ratios that cost me in a couple leagues. And it was one of those, like, you don't think of it in the moment, but when you're looking back, like, well, no duh, like, that makes sense. That's why I'm probably more hesitant this whole like all the time now with certain pitchers. Like, I'd rather not gamble on certain 2-start guys, even though it's like the, you know, the Bible according to some. It's like, oh, I need 2-start pitchers, and I'm like, I'm super cautious. Like, I'd rather sit back and risk not getting like 4 extra strikeouts or something, and that kind of scenario. So that's the only reason why I wanted to make that joke, because that's something I've learned, and we learn stuff every year. Like, I got a whole book on what I've screwed up this year. So but last year, that one stuck out in a big way, was streaming for wins and K's. It can backfire in a big way as well.
Yep. And always just keep out. And I mean, this is pretty basic stuff too, but just keep out like how bunched you are in those categories. So if you are maybe 10th in ERA and WHIP, and you say, I'm just going to punt it, I'm not doing well there anyway, where are the guys around you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's something you can do. And also just simple stuff. Look at your standings and which categories can you actually physically move in? Otherwise, don't worry about it. Like, some categories, if you need like 12 home runs to get 3 points, that might be way too hard this time of the year in reality, like making up 12 homers. But if you need like five RBIs and like six runs somewhere else. Maybe start focusing on top of the order bats or something. Like there's different ways to go about it in those scenarios where you're not chasing a lost category just because they're the hot bat. Like everyone wants the Corbin Carrolls, the Gunnar Hendersons, the Tristan Cassises, but in reality, I've sat back and thought about it recently. Did they really need to be on my teams? All of them. Maybe some of them, but not all of them. Was it worth spending my money on those guys where I could have saved it to maybe stream for guys we'll talk about the final week of the season when we need to load up on pitching? Like it could backfire in that regard as well.
And just an example for like some of the category bunching, I'll just use my mixed labor team as an example. So like right now I'm third in saves. I've got 61 saves. The second place team has 66 and first place has 82. So like there is no way I'm getting the first
ever.
I'm probably not even going to get to second. The team behind me has 51 saves. So they're 10 saves behind. There's just really no one around me. So it does behoove me to, and it's kind of funny. I had three closers, which is why I'm doing well. I had Kenley Jansen, Josh Hader, and Ryan Helsley. Traded Jansen like 2 weeks ago because I kind of saw this coming for Sean Manaea, and then Josh Hader has imploded. Yeah, I know. Josh Hader has imploded, and then Ryan Helsley's just kind of doing okay. But that's just an example of like bunching and how spread out the categories are. Like a save does mean no good, and so am I going to bench Ryan Helsley and in favor of like a ninth starter that I don't like? No, I'd rather get that ratio protection. But if there's any starter, even with any strikeout upside, I am going to kind of flip the switch. And I think this week I actually have nine starters in that league just because saves do me zero good at this point. And that's what you need to be looking at. Like, and you need to be ruthless for your drops. If someone's not useful for you, drop them. This is the time to drop them. So
let me throw this scenario out there just like for listeners to kind of think of ideas, because we're talking about, when to start people, who to start, just based on things like, do I need to start closers? Should I start Jeffrey Springs? Would you rather start a 3-inning Jeffrey Springs over Ryan Helsley, knowing you might get like 3 to 5 innings of Springs if he makes two starts over Ryan Helsley?
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, those are the decisions you have to make. Like I would probably take Helsley in that theoretical just because the ratios have been so great. He's going to get the Ks, especially if it was like a one start Springs. But that's a great point. Like Jeffrey Springs is, I know I like how this has evolved in the Jeffrey Springs discussion, yeah. But like, it's a great example. A great middle reliever versus Jeffrey Springs the rest of the way.
Like, would you rather have Lois Siga of right. the Yankees, or would you rather have like a Springs situation? That's the kind of stuff that's like the realistic fab stuff coming up in the next few weeks. Like, do I want like literally go to Reliever Recon, go to HQ, Doug Dennis's stuff, go to the Fangraphs closer page, whatever works for you, whatever your deal is, and see who not the closers are, but who's getting heavy workload in the seventh and the eighth. Look at those guys, because you can get them for a buck right now, and those might be a lot better than a lot of the streaming options coming up.
And that's the thing. It's like, and it's the perception of the value of these guys. So like Jeffrey Springs, he's sitting on your, NFBC roster or whatever. You look, he's 100% rostered in 12 teamers. Do you drop that? It's like, well, again, don't just hold him because he's heavily rostered in other leagues. Loaisiga is 3% rostered. Again, probably pretty similar type ratios the rest of the way between those two. One is highly coveted, the other is not. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how that plays out. And on the flip side, it goes to hitting, because in NFBC you got the bi-weekly moves, in other leagues you don't. So I mean, you have daily, of course, where it really changes the way you can stream things, but matchups become even more important. So like something as simple as you put a couple links up to a couple different pages, but just looking at the Fangraphs one, it's just super visible. Like you can or visual, you can see it. Like you go straight to Houston, for instance, starting this Friday, they don't have a day off until either late September or early, like the last week of the season. So that's a lot of straight games if you just want to like look at it. Cause I tweeted it out Saturday night when I was working on fab stuff, that just looking ahead to next week's schedule, like the Reds have 9 games. Yep. There's 2 teams with 8 games. There's also like 4 or 5 teams with 5 games. Yep. And it sounds simple. I know like we and other people like just blast that down over and over again, like the matchups, but a 5-game schedule is going to really hurt when there's 8 and 9 game schedules coming up. Even if it's a worse player on the 8 or 9er, as long as they're playing 8 or 9 games, they are somehow going to outperform most of those 5-game guys. It's just the way it's going to, unless it's an elite player, of course, they're going to outperform most of them. So that kind of little stuff.
That difference of 3 games in a week, that's more than 10% like of the season. It's huge. That's
tremendous.
Yeah. So it's and yeah, I mean, you bring up the schedule, like there's a couple of good resources out there. Like Bubba, you just mentioned the Fangraphs page, which is really nice. I like this site called Tankathon. I don't know why they call it Tankathon. I guess they track it for like odds to get draft lottery and stuff the following year. But they've got a really cool page. And if anyone wants, I can put the link out.
Yeah, I never heard of it until you put it in there. I was like,
oh you hadn't? I don't even know how I found it, but like they've got this one page where it's got everybody at each team, how many games left and like what the strength of schedule and the toughest and easiest opponents and the number of games by opponent. And it's just like, really, it's one page you can go to that basically just summarizes. It doesn't give you like the sequence and when they're going to play everybody, but you can kind of pair it with Fangraphs or, you know, RotoWire or whatever, to kind of put the whole picture together. But this is just a really nice kind of snapshot on Tankathon of who are the teams that have the most games, what's the strength of schedule, and what are their opponents. So like right off the bat, the number one strength of schedule team in terms of number one, I say hardest, is Arizona. And you just look at on Tankathon, they've got 8 games against LA, which is absolutely brutal, especially from the hitting side. We'll see, you know, I don't know what that LA rotation is going to look like in September, but that's again, another variable that you play. But 8 games against LA, 2 against Houston, 3 or 5 against San Diego, and 3 against the Brewers. Like that's a tough stretch. Whereas like the easiest schedule remaining is the Mets. They've only got 2 quote unquote hard teams in Atlanta for 3, the Brewers for 3, but the Mets play Washington 3, Oakland 3, Pittsburgh 4, Marlins 5, and Cubs 3. Like that is butter, man. So they only have 24 games, which is, you know, another kind of issue there in terms of volume. But if you can get the Mets on the right week, like, man, that's a pretty easy schedule.
Man, you got the Reds again, 28 games, which is kind of the top number for most of these games. Again, 9 games next week helps, but yep. 7 against the Pirates, 7 against the Cubs coming up. Like, I know they got the Brewers for 7 and Cardinals for 5, so that's tricky. But in reality, the Brewers, Burns hasn't been the same Burns. I'm not expecting to be that bad forever. Don't get me wrong, but Peralta's not going deep. Lauer's not Lauer right now, so that's not as cakey as it was. It's still not bad, but if you get those matchups, at least some of those in Great American Small Park, anything can happen. So that's always interesting, and you see a lot of trends here too. It's the Central teams and then the AL West, like it's like that's a big and then the NL East pops up. But yeah, it's interesting, like Seattle, and it made me like dig into certain guys last week, and now seeing this makes it stand out even more. Like Abraham Toro got called up, not a fancy name to some people, might remember him from last year, but he's playing every day. He's second base, third base eligible. Like he's got a little pop, and they play the A's for 6, the Tigers for 4, Royals 3, Rangers 3, Angels 4. Like that is juicy. So it's interesting looking at some of these that you can really pinpoint some interesting matchups just by looking long term. So like you said, you see that, then you see like maybe when do they play. I'm always a fan. I've preached it forever, especially for pitching, but hitting if you can. That's why I tweeted it out the other day, is I like looking a week ahead. You get these guys so cheap. Now it doesn't really matter. No one's got any money. So it is what it is. But go and load up for guys for 2 weeks from now if you want to. And then you don't have to worry. Like, just start planning ahead. Yeah. You'll be much happier in the end.
That's something I need to, from an in-season kind of process for next year.
It's tough. I need to get better. I don't do it nearly enough. Like, I wish I did. It's just like the certain Saturdays where I have extra time where I'm sitting there, like when I'm at my in-laws' house. So I had some extra time on my hands, but it's one of those situations.
Cincinnati, you mentioned 28 games. The other team with 28 is Cleveland, and they've got a pretty juicy schedule as well. So any kind of Cleveland bats, Cleveland plays Kansas City for 7 against that rotation, the Rangers for 3, and the Angels for 3. their quote unquote harder opponents are the Twins. And from a rotation standpoint, like the Twins aren't it. So that combination of volume and matchups for Cleveland, I think is really interesting in terms of pickups. So,
and see, and there's some teams that you can look like, you said the Twins, and I'm sitting there going, and you mentioned with the Dodgers earlier, like, what's the rotation look like? Well, This is the Twins based probably like on their season numbers and their win percentages, I'm guessing, and whatnot. Now, you know,
they're winning percentage, I think.
Yeah, that rotation just keeps getting worse and worse in Minnesota. So you could see those numbers flip. The next thing you know, Cleveland hits 8 against Minnesota, and that's on the other side of the spectrum pretty soon. So that's an interesting one to look at as well. So it's a cool page. It really stands out. Like, the Yankees actually have a trickier schedule than you think. They're kind of middle of the pack. But it also, another thing we've talked hitting this whole time, pitching people. Yep. So you can easily flip this on its head. And again, even if it's just for those middle reliever guys we're talking about, like, hey, the like, for example, Tampa Bay's got 27 games. They're like out of the top 10 teams. That's the most games. And they get some nice matchups. On the flip side, I want to go to the bottom. Sorry. The Reds again. You can go to that angle if you want. I've been trying to get a Diaz everywhere I can, if you can find them. But, you know, the Reds, the Mariners have like 7 bullpen guys that are all viable. Like, there's angles there for sure.
And the other kind of hack you can do there, if you're looking at streaming, and I think Reliever Recon has this as well. They do like a daily reliever streaming thing. You can look and target the guys that did not pitch Sunday,
because that's smart.
More likely to pitch Monday, or, you know, maybe didn't pitch the weekend or whatever. You combine that with a 7 or 8 game schedule the following week. That can add up. I mean, that could be an extra appearance. And again, we're talking the tiniest of margins here, but an extra appearance could be a win, could be 2 more strikeouts. There are leagues that are decided on things like that if you're really in the race and in the thick of things.
Yeah, if you've listened to any of the, like, you know, the Jenstead and Erickson pods, DPH and all the NFBC guys he has on, if you listen to any of these pods, you know, Rob Silver talk about it. These guys, when they've won their overalls, or they've seen someone else win one, there's always a story somewhere of like the last game, the last at bats, the last something. And you think it's silly, but it's like the dude struck out to end the game, and that strikeout like got the job done. Or so this guy gave up a hit before he got pulled, and his whip went up like 0.1. Like, just little things like that, that you think nothing of. And it's just like, yep, that one little thing changed the whole spectrum.
I may have said this on the pod before, but I won a league on the last day. The guy who I was battling with, it was James Anderson and Ian Kahn Dynasty League. They had Robbie Ray go in the last day of the season, and Robbie Ray gave up like a fly ball to right field. Right fielder just lost it in the sun. Didn't touch it. It was not ruled an error. It was ruled a hit. Run scored. I won in ratios because of that. So, like, yes, it does happen. And I guess the end of the season, and we'll get to this in a second, but yeah, the end of the season's on a Wednesday this year, so it's not going to be too much of a productive work day, I don't think, for many fantasy managers. One last thing before we kind of get to that, because I do want to hit on that at the end, is Colorado. So this doesn't come up on the Tankathon thing, but I think Colorado's last home game is like September 25th. And so if you've got any Rockies, you're probably not playing them after that. So just keep that in mind. I know they finish, it's really weird. They finish with a 5-game series at LA to end the season. So
you got to drop all of your Rockies pretty much.
And you probably want to drop them the week before.
I say that now. But if the Dodgers start throwing some scrubby guys out there to get ready for the postseason, that's when you get those random, like,
yes, they're so
Ryan deep, McMahon though, has like 6 home runs over the week. True. Like, it's something stupid like that.
It's true. But it is. That is something I saw out
definitely
there.
Definitely a good call, though.
I forget where. But, yeah, I think it's like September 25th is the last home game for the Rockies. So, yeah, something to keep in mind.
It's a great call. And then you mentioned the last week is a half week. And like, I heard Spore mention it like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I mentioned it with Toby, and Toby didn't believe me. So like mid-pod, he had to go look it up. He's like, oh, my. And so we have 27 fab weeks this year instead of the normal 26, because the last week is a half a week because of the lockout slowing things down. So that's going to make it a lot more fun. Like, it's been kind of a topic we've discussed a little bit. I know Jenstead was tweeting about it the other day that basically you're going to have 40-ish% of the normal starting pitching pool pitching for the week, which means a lot of guys aren't starting, obviously, 60%, which means you have to fill your 9 pitching spots. And that's where we kept talking about middle relievers kind of leading to this potentially. Like, this is where you need to lock up. And to be honest, I would pick them up a week early if I was you, because you are not going to be the only one wanting to get these guys. Yeah. So what do you have? Like, there's not, a ton of strategy outside of looking at the schedules coming up. But do you have anything on this? Because it's going to be very vital. Again, if you can get, like, 5 or 6 stud middle relievers, even if they're 6th inning guys, just that can get out their ratios, get you 2 or 3 Ks over the 4 games. Like, that's tremendous.
Yep. I mean, that's the play. And the big thing to do about it now is just budget for it, especially if you're in leagues with dollar minimum bids, right? You've got to keep $5 or $6 to pick up 5 or 6 middle relievers. But it is kind of funny that it's happening at the end of the season. Cause I know we always talk about, you know, the opening day is usually like on a Thursday, and we always talk about that at the beginning of the year, saying, okay, you know, half your rotation, so I'm going to play that first weekend, pick up a couple middle relievers late, you know, the last couple rounds, and then drop them the following week. It's kind of that same thing, but reverse. It's the end of the season, and even more pronounced at the end of the season, because most starters game 162, they're out after 3-4 innings. So it's even more like exaggerated this season. So if you're counting on wins or Ks at all that last week, or half week, Monday through Wednesday, it's going to be a tough go.
Yeah. Cause you'll get like the option, do I want to pitch Dean Kramer, or do I want to go get some middle relievers, stuff like that, where it's going to be, cause your elite pitchers on playoff teams aren't going deep. They're just not, unless they're still fighting to get seeding, cause there's weird seeding this year. So that could lead to something.
Or like an award or something.
Like an incentive on their contract.
Yeah, stuff like that. But
so it's definitely stuff to monitor going deep.
You got to research people's contracts.
And maybe we'll have to really get in and figure that out down the road here. But
do a contract incentive episode.
Yeah, just like go through all the athletic beat writers. Like, what do we have going on here, guys? Like, figure it out. But it's going to be wild. It's going to be very, very wild. And we'll try to help you out down the stretch here with some more stuff, because that's about all there really is to focus on down the way here. Unless you guys have listener questions, come up with tons of them. We'll help you if you have specific questions. That makes it a lot easier. But otherwise, it's matchups. It's planning ahead. Like, maybe next week we'll do a look ahead episode and try to like pinpoint some dudes or something to help you out, or look at relievers more for you, because I'm not a reliever expert. But there's a lot of great tools for that. A lot of great tools for that. But we can maybe narrow some things down as well along those lines. All right, we have a couple listener questions here. Let's get at it. We have I know the first one. I have a bone to pick with our buddy Ben Ted. Not that he asked this question, great question, but he said, this is for Ryan, but Bubba, feel free to answer if you went to college. Ben, like, what do I look like to you? Like, I know I'm this fat bald guy that like talks sports all the time, but come on, man. Like, I went to school, UC Davis. Like, we don't worry about the GPA. The degree says the same thing. It's all that matters, okay? I went to school.
It only took you 12 years, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, Van Wilder was a good time. Like, I saw that. Like, I'm like, Ben, it makes me like him more, actually, because that's like a smart-ass comment that I would make. So that I appreciate that. But
I didn't pick up on that. That is funny. I'm seeing it now. Yeah,
I could saw that right out the gate. I was like, I was going to save it for the show, because Ben's a great listener. He's a great dude. He's competing for an overall. I'm going to save it for the show. But he said to Ryan, because you guys found out last week when Ben did a great job on his first episode. So Ben, I'm jealous, because I usually have first timers on my show. So Rob and I have beef right now, by the way. That's going to be a different topic. But he wants to know, since you guys are both engineers, because I'm assuming that's what IE stands for, some kind of engineering. What was your favorite IE class? I didn't take IE classes in college, Ben, so I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah. So we found out because of the podcast that Ben was on with Rob DiPietro, the Pull Hitter Pod. Yeah, like last week, I was listening, and Ben just kind of threw it in that he was an engineer. So I'm an engineer. I went to Virginia Tech and then University of Arizona for my master's, but not only engineers, but industrial engineers. So we both had the same major and do fantasy baseball, which is just kind of crazy. So that was cool to kind of listen to. And again, an awesome podcast with Ben and Bob, I'm going to mispronounce it, Kremutola, who is leading the main event. And as an aside, I'll get to the answer in a second, but like, it's pretty awesome to see so many people we know atop the main event leaderboard. It's going to be a pretty wild finish. So Jen Stad's in second, Ben's in third, 2 Steve Weimers at 4th and 5th. Scott Erickson, Jeff Erickson's down there about 15, so he's in the mix, but should be a good finish. To go back to Ben's question, my hardest class was linear optimization.
You said your favorite class.
Oh, favorite class. Definitely was not linear.
Yeah, I'll say, I know it's not your favorite, but it was your hardest.
I would say statistics. So we took engineering statistics class, and that's actually where I learned some of this stuff. I had played fantasy in college, but I was not writing or anything or in the industry or anything like that. So wish I paid a little bit more attention. But we did do stuff like correlations and t-tests and p-tests and all that kind of stuff to test out kind of the relationship between factors of things. And it's funny, like I kind of glazed my eyes over at the time. It was an interesting class, but like if I was into baseball at the time, like that would be the thing, because we do that stuff all the time. What metrics do we look at that, you know, what power metrics do we look at to correlate with home runs the following season, those kinds of things. So that was a class I took in school that I enjoyed and would have enjoyed even more if I knew how much I use it now.
Yeah, because he said even though it was probably the hardest for him, it was operations research was his favorite one. So
that was our hardest. So like that is, and not to get too far down, but that is another one where I really wish this was before DFS.
Just the title of it sounds like it could help out pretty much with a lot of this.
It is all optimizing things. And so you've got constraints, you have a goal, and you need to find the best pathway to that. And so like DFS is the perfect, I mean, tons of sites have lineup optimizers. Like I probably would have done a project on this. We used to have to calculate this stuff by hand, but you've got constraints. You've got a $50,000 budget for your lineup. You've got a field, one guy at each position. Those are your constraints. You also have a goal, and that goal is to maximize your fantasy points. So it comes up all the time in like manufacturing and stuff like that. So that's what we should be using it for, but I wish I would have used it for fantasy. Oh, well. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I'll give Ben some of my information here now.
We got to flip this back. I went to college. Since you did go to college.
Yeah, 5 years, went to college. It is funny when you say that though. I took statistics, I took like computer classes. I really wish I cared now because I am so jealous how you guys could put like charts and stuff. I want to do like simple things and I still can't figure it out. Like I want to be able to put like two lines together and then like compare the differences and stuff. And that's just way over my head still. Like it's pathetic. It's stuff you do on your boards in like 5 minutes. I wish I could do, and it just blows my mind. But like looking back, I should have focused more on that. I passed the class, but yeah, I enjoyed college more than I enjoyed classes in college. Let's put it that way. My favorite stuff is like they say when you go to your major courses, that's when it's fun because it's stuff you care about. So I did crop science type stuff because I'm in farming. So that was more my fun. The outdoors classes, those were the fun stuff I liked a lot more, like actually learning the actual whole production process and everything. Those are the classes I liked a lot more. So
yeah, there you go, get Ben. Outside. Yeah, Ben, you didn't ask, but
you're getting it now. And Ben, I'm totally kidding. That was the snarky kind of stuff I live for right there. That was absolutely amazing. So come the first pitch, I'll buy you a beer, Ben. Mike Carter says, is Corbin Carroll a keeper in 12-team leagues for next year? I'd imagine so, but I guess it depends on your team.
Yeah, I mean, the cop-out answer is your team, and I'm assuming this is Roto, but yeah, like Corbin Carroll was taken in it was a 15-teamer or 2023 degenerates draft, but was taken in the fourth round. I think Brian Slack took him, and that felt about right. Like, especially in a Roto, like, I mean, Corbin Carroll could freaking lead the majors in steals next season, so depending on obviously what the options are, but yeah, Corbin Carroll will be very much relevant in 12 teamers next season. And if there's any kind of like dynasty or contract component to it, that's
what I was gonna say. It might not even be a next season play, it's a long term play with Corbin Carroll more than anything. So, 100%,
he's excited. He hit his first home run, on Wednesday,
straight away center field. Yeah, that was a big boy shot.
It was bombed, and he can move. I've seen him beat out a couple infield hits and or at least get close. And yeah, he's the speed's legit.
That D-backs team, like you said earlier, they're hitting and they're going to be fun. If they could ever figure out pitching, they got some young, talented bats. I guess it's a fun team.
Some non-Zach Allen pitching. Man, it's crazy. Run. His next start is at Coors. So that 41 innings.
Get the flu. Get the flu. Go start somewhere else, please. For the love of God. Gaman8 asks, what's a realistic deficit to make up with regards to RBIs? Do you, we'll start there. It's a two-part question. I think we were kind of saying maybe the most 10, but it's tricky this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because, I mean, we kind of alluded to this earlier, comparing like your ratios, your batting average, ERA, and WHIP, where it can kind of work both ways. Counting stats is a little bit tougher, but just think about how much you can make up in a week. And I think making up like 10, just to throw a number on it, if you can make up, this may be a little aggressive, but you can make up 10 RBI per week. There's 4 weeks left. I think that's something that, you know, probably isn't likely, but is at least reasonable to expect if your team goes on a heater. Something like that that you could do. So I think like maybe like 40 RBI or 40 runs, those are probably kind of your about max of what you could make up, something like that. But one thing I would do is, I mean, depending on what site you're on, one thing you could do to actually kind of run this is most sites have like your standings by week, and mm-hmm. you can see just on average what the top performer had in each category that week, what the bottom had, and what's that difference. Most likely the people ahead of you aren't going to be at the bottom. So don't take that kind of top versus bottom difference and extrapolate that out, but that can at least give you a ballpark just to kind of see like what that production looks like over a week, and then multiply that out by 4 weeks left.
Yeah. And that goes back to these geniuses that you engineer guys and guys that can make spreadsheets and stuff. Brian Slack talked about it on Pull Hitter Podcast, and I got a sneak peek at it, and other people have as well. He does his chart, his week to week, his own gains. And so he can see like how he's making up ground, how he's falling back, and he keeps track of those things. So there's that. And like you said, like 40, what, instead of looking at the big number, look at a week to week. Like you said, you're looking at your week to week numbers, but when you're going into your fab for the week, like realistically think about that week. Don't think about the next 3 weeks.
That's a really good point.
It's going to change each week. So focus on how many do I need to gain this week to break the number down, basically. Go that.
That's a really good point. Yep. And I kind of like inadvertently did it that way. But yeah, if you can just chop 10 per week, you'll get there. But it's very important.
Focus on that instead of, don't try to find a guy that's going to outperform everybody else by 40. Go find like three dudes for this week that could get you extra 10 and go that direction.
And that's where we were saying those extra 12 at bats next week from Cincinnati, like maybe that's 4 or 5 RBI.
Like guys like Donovan Solano, who are garbage, but he might play every day in Great American Small Park. Like you just, he's got so much value now, like so much value. So think about it. And then he says, do you also think Vinny P comes back this year? Yes, I do. He's rehabbing. He should be back, I think, maybe this weekend.
Yeah. And I wonder what that means for Prado. But
yeah, I was talking with Toby about that. I think if they really want to do it right, but it's a big if, it's as simple as you either have Melendez play the outfield with Salvi catching, and you have Prado or Vinny P DH.
Done.
That's my 2 cents.
Easy.
It's an easy game from
not
over here.
Not that easy.
It's an easy game from over here, but
who knows what Kansas City will do.
Exactly. But like on paper, that's how it should be to get all your big studs in the lineup. We'll see how that takes place. But that's how I look at it. But that's it, Ryan. That's our last question of the night. So any final thoughts as we have about, like I said, 4-ish weeks to go?
Not really. Just if you're fortunate enough to be in the September sweats, enjoy it. I've been there. It's when you're in it, it's stressful. You're staring at standings and looking at things you can't really control, but just enjoy it. And that's why we play this game, the competition, the thrill of it. So we'll be back at it next week with more stuff. Yeah, maybe we'll do like a middle reliever analysis, something like that, for guys that are just kind of available everywhere and who the best skills guys are.
That's guys are available that start speculating on now, because it'll definitely, if you wait till the last week, you're going to lose out on a lot of, like, you're gonna have to make a waterfall of like 25 relievers because everyone's going for them. That'll be a miserable Saturday night. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that'll be a horrible Saturday night. So start planning early if you can.
All right, good. I like having
topic done. Topic
I like
done.
Having an agenda for next week's show already.
So done. Awesome. We'll come back with you guys with that. Keep your listener questions. Like I said, though, if you have like specific questions, we'll talk about all that stuff to help you out. So bring all the goods as usual. Check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ and his work over at Baseball HQ. Go check out first pitch Arizona, which is less than 2 months away. So we got that going for us as well. I'm on Twitter at BDentric. Again, you guys have a good one. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 19. Catch you guys next time.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.